Because for some reason you wanted it, we discuss Marmaduke. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I am Stuart Wellington.
Wow, I'm Elliot Kalin, and I'm strangely turned on all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yep.
Not strangely.
Nice stuff. Yeah, there's nothing strange.
You're wearing your face cut off shirt.
Yeah, that makes it sound like he's perfect. Wearing a shirt that cut his face off.
No,
it's made out of cut off faces.
Stuart has a jersey. What would you call what you're wearing?
I would say it's like a basketball jersey.
It's like an Italian tee,
but it says face on it
because it is the jersey that face wore on A Team.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, we are experiencing a heat wave here at the Flophouse. Temperatures are up to 1,000,000 degrees.
But that's Celsius.
It's not just the Flophouse. I mean, this is all over.
The Flophouse is located in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
USA. Earth. Milky Way.
Rated R.
Is playing at everywhere.
We are indeed having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. Temperatures rising. It's hardly surprising because Stuart certainly can.
The end.
So here at the Flophouse, the three of us watch a movie.
All right. Bad movie or a good movie?
It depends. Usually a great movie.
That's right. Usually it's a classic.
Wait, let me check.
Incorrect.
I'm wrong, actually. We usually watch some kind of critical or financial flop. Thus the name Flophouse.
And flop, of course, is an acronym for failure to launch over production costs.
Yep. That's where the word comes from.
Yep. As opposed to the opposite, flip, fantastic liability, including production costs.
Weird.
So
tortured.
Pancake flipper,
yep.
All about the production cost of the pancake.
Oh, yes, and a pancake flopper, you don't want to be that.
No. Gets all over the face.
So tonight,
speaking of face, the shirt Stuart's wearing says that. So what movie did we watch tonight, Dan?
So we watched a movie called Marmaduke.
Now Marmaduke? Could it be?
The fabled Marmaduke episode. Now, for some reason, fans of the Flophouse
recorded 10 zillion years ago.
Clamoring.
In a cave somewhere.
For us to talk about Marmaduke.
We mentioned Marmaduke in a very early episode. Someone wrote in, I think, saying, a Marmaduke movie's coming out. You guys should flop that. And we said, maybe. Then we didn't.
Yeah.
For years.
And then this stuck in the craw of our fans for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Long our fans, past our Dans.
Our mans and our hands. Hans.
This movie came out longer ago than we would normally address on the podcast. But not to pull the curtain too far
this was
back.
This was actually a 2010 release.
We needed to short movie tonight.
We missed by a little over a month the third anniversary of the release of Marmaduke.
Well, I think we were waiting to see
I think is the flop anniversary.
I think we were waiting to see how well it did in post-theatrical release.
Yeah.
It made
foreign
its money
markets.
Back.
Home markets, overseas,
in
streaming.
Singapore,
you want to make sure that
it
really
huge.
Fit.
Yeah.
So... No, we needed a short movie tonight just for outside reasons, and Marmaduke was a trim 84 minutes.
Just for the lulz.
So let's give the people what they want.
And what they want is Marmaduke, and what I want is to not have seen Marmaduke.
Luckily, your phone can easily go in the way of the TV screen.
Yep, that's called using a second screen. Now, Dan, for the listeners at home who have not read a 60-year-old comic strip that nobody likes, what is a Marmaduke?
So Marmaduke... Think about, all right, imagine a comic called Howard Huge that appears in Parade magazine.
About Howard Hughes and his enormous penis.
About Howard Huge, a large dog.
Howard Hughes' penis grew so long because he went crazy and stopped clipping it.
Sure.
Now imagine that
That's where the
comic,
term raw dogging comes from, right?
Yep.
Imagine that single panel comic was not called Howard Huge, but it was called Marmaduke. And then you have Marmaduke.
So Marmaduke is a big dog.
It's a big dog.
Not Clifford the Big Red Dog big.
No.
But
not
bigger,
as big as a house.
Bigger than your average dog.
Mm-hmm.
He's as big as a doghouse.
He's a large dog.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to him.
And what kind of stuff do they do jokes about in the Marmaduke
comic strip? Oh, well, perhaps the owner of Marmaduke wants to sit in the recliner, but Marmaduke is already in the recliner, and because Marmaduke is large, this is very inconvenient.
Okay. What else? Give me another one. Give me another taste of Marmaduke.
Man, Marmaduke likes bones, and he has dug the hell up out of the backyard to bury all his bones.
I love it. Keep it coming. Give me a third. Rule of three is one more Marmaduke jazz.
Marmaduke would love to sleep on the bed where humans sleep, and Marmaduke is so big that he is all over owner and owner's wife.
He's cracking up already.
He's a big dog, Marmaduke.
What I'm not hearing is a story of how a dog was formed out of the marriage of Marmalade and a Duke.
No. Well, that's what you... It's what one might surmise and wish that Marmaduke is about, but not, in actuality, the truth of Marmaduke.
Sounds like there's a lot of rich potential for a Marmaduke film.
Sure. If you love large things and you love dogs, then Marmaduke would be the movie for you.
Basically a bunch of one-panel gags with, I don't know, like a tagline at the bottom, right?
Yeah, like a whole movie
like
made
Marmaduke,
up of...
Like Marmaduke, oh no, would be maybe
when Marmaduke has been like caught with a bloody knife in his hand over a body.
Sure.
Or like, Marmaduke, say it ain't so, when he's been caught fixing the 1919 World Series.
I mean, those aren't necessarily size-based gags, but I think you're getting the basic
like, Marmaduke,
gist.
What are you doing? I just want to be friends. And I'll let you think about what Marmaduke's doing.
Oh, Marmaduke,
it's him
why?
Driving a car.
Yeah, he's driving a car.
That's the car talk.
So the whole movie you'd think would be just a series of blackout gags about a big dog getting in the way. Mm-hmm. You'd be wrong. Turns out Marmaduke has a lot on its mind. A lot it stole from other movies.
Other movies, though, that are not children's films or movies about dogs.
No.
Think about generic plot A and generic plot B. And ram them together and
put
a dog.
In it. Let's talk about what happens in Marmaduke, shall we? So
sure.
Marmaduke's a big Great Dane. He's big. Mm-hmm. He lives in Kansas.
Who's the main
He's
character? Like the
charge.
Family that has to cope with this giant dog? Or?
In the comic strip, I guess. Oh, before I get into the plot, let me just say one thing.
This has an amazing cast.
Okay, just some of the people in it doing either voice work or on-camera work.
All right.
Owen Wilson.
Yeah, titular Marmaduke.
Lee Pace.
Yeah,
of one of Marmaduke's my favorite owner. Movies, The Fall.
TV's Thranduil.
Yep. TV's? Really?
Yeah, he's in the commercials on TV.
Judy
he's
Greer.
Pushing Daisies, too.
Everybody's comedy sweetheart favorite, Judy Greer.
Flophouse fave.
William got a huge crush on her.
William H. Macy, maybe the best actor there is right now when he's given the right material. The
really
man who
great.
Turns the Norm Gunderson in Fargo. No, not Norm Gunderson. What am I talking about? That's Marge's husband.
What's
his character's name
in
Fargo?
Even,
let's just say his
so
name
long.
Is Fargo H. Macy. He turns Fargo H. Macy into a complex character. Steve Coogan does a voice. Alan Partridge himself. Sam Elliott does a voice.
Yeah.
Fergie does a voice. Who cares? George Lopez does a voice. Whatever.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone is a dog voice. Kiefer Sutherland is a dog voice.
Mm-hmm.
There's more than one Wayans brother doing dog's voices. The whole time you're like, imagine what Robert Altman could do with a cast like this. Imagine what Quentin Tarantino could do with a cast like this. But they're not in one of those movies. They're in Marmaduke.
The night sky is dark because all the stars are in Marmaduke.
A movie that, just on the side, just flipping through Wikipedia, it appears that the movie was edited by the man who edited Coming Home, Being There. Like, imagine what he could do with a good movie. But no, he's not.
Mm-mm.
Instead... He is. His name's Don Zimmerman, by the way.
He was editing sloppily computer-animated dog faces.
Yes. Rather than doing the work he did so beautifully in our favorite Rocky IV, he is doing computer-animated dog faces. Because let's let them make sure about that. Dogs talk in this movie, but not in the look who's talking now way, where you just hear a voice superimposed over a dog's face.
No, they do it in the Beverly Hills Chihuahua style. Where they've animated the lips of dogs.
Which is so creepy and horrible.
And also not true to the Marmaduke comic, which one thing I will say for Marmaduke, and you will hear me say very few positive things about the Marmaduke comic single panel gag, but one of the things I like about it is that it is about a real dog who does not talk.
He doesn't talk. He is mute from birth.
Yes.
Tragically.
As dogs
That's the real
are.
Tragedy of Marmaduke.
Yeah.
The need for self-expression, the inability to find it.
He expresses himself through placing himself in place where he shouldn't
be. It's a cry for attention.
Sitting on things.
He's saying, my body must do, my words cannot. Get your attention. I'm a being. I exist. Love me.
Well, on the
subject, for I know that one day this large body, no matter how large it is, must pass away there, and rot.
There is a larger dog than me, a dog
possibly
called God,
feeding an entire family.
The large dog in the sky has decreed we all have a limited time on this earth. Even I, Marmaduke. And so one day,
largest of the dogs,
I shall be naught but an enormous skeleton moldering to dust. My name, perhaps a memory if I'm lucky, a faded tombstone weathered away by the rain and wind, until naught is left upon this earth but hopefully a spirit, mayhaps a soul, but ultimately nothing. Buried by the ages of time, the stones of forgetfulness, as must we all be, forever and ever, Marmaduke. Amen.
But Fred Bassett will live forever.
Oh, Fred Bassett is immortal, yeah. He's a Highlander. That's why Fred Bassett occasionally goes around cutting the heads off other dogs.
Yes, that's what happened to Howard Hughes, right?
Yeah. Fred Bassett said there could only be one, cut his head off. Yeah.
But
so there must have been massive social changes when people realized that dogs and, I guess, other animals can talk, right?
Here's the thing. Unlike Zookeeper, where animals reveal they can always talk, they just choose not to. The animals are not heard by their humans, which makes it even weirder that their mouths are animated, because it's like, how do the humans not notice that their mouths are at least silently forming syllables? Like, if you ever looked at a dog's face, he's not making shapes with his mouth.
I'm imagining deaf deaf people who can lip read are like, these dogs are talking to us all the time.
Why are we?
All right, sure, the dogs are talking. Take them away, boys.
No, I swear, they can talk. I'm amazed you can talk so well when you're deaf guy. Take him away to the loony bin for deaf people.
They've got a special loony bin?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, terrible.
When you're deaf, no one can hear you scream.
Yeah.
I mean, wait.
That was the tagline for Deaf Alien. In the big city. Rated R. is brought to you by Michelob Light Ultra. Marmaduke. So the dogs can talk, all the animals, and dogs can talk to cats, but people cannot hear it. Interspecies communication doesn't pass through to people. It's only pets. Okay, Marmaduke lives in Kansas with his family. The dad is Lee Pace. The mom is Judy Greer. They've got some kids.
Lee Pace declined to grow a mustache for this role. If there's one thing I know about the owner of Marmaduke is that he has a mustache.
But Marmaduke's family is in for a big shock.
Well, they couldn't put a fake one on him because it would look totally unrealistic as compared to the dogs.
Well, also as compared to his eyebrows.
As compared to the...
Like, one of those could have migrated south for a couple of minutes for each shot.
Yeah.
The saying is, right before shooting, his eyebrow would crawl down his face to where a mustache would be, leaving him with a mustache and one huge eyebrow and just baldness over the other eye.
It is weird, though, to like having seen Lee Pace reach sort of new heights of fame, I think, for his career, like appearing in Lincoln this last year and then dialing it back to when he was appearing in Marmaduke.
It was 3 years ago. I mean,
no, I know.
A lot can happen.
Sure.
In that time.
Mm-hmm. In a New York minute, man. Everything could change.
So anyway, speaking of a New York minute, they're moving to California, the OC, where Lee Pace has gotten it, and they both watch a scene of the OC, and then the California Here We Come song plays in the soundtrack.
Right back where we started.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful in the same way a really ugly person can be beautiful when you look at them in the right way.
Yeah, well, if you love them enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything looks beautiful.
It's similar to in I think it's in Time Indefinite, where there's a long shot of a tumor and it slowly becomes somewhat beautiful just through your pure exposure to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So let's keep going. He works for a company called Bark Organic, an organic dog food company, and the boss, William H. Macy, wants it to get into Petco, finally be a nationwide pet food.
Instead of this is a pet food company. Instead of having an office building, they just have a giant dog park that they walk around.
They just meet at the dog park because William H. Macy loves dogs. The way dogs love trucks, William H. Macy loves dogs. If that movie, Must Love Dogs, was about William H. Macy, it would just say love dogs. It wouldn't say must. You'd know he would. He'd be perfect for it. So they meet there, and Lee Pace decides to convince William H. Macy. I'm running ahead. Anyway, they work in a dog park.
No, please don't run ahead.
Which introduces all
there's
the
so many ins, so many outs.
Which introduces the dogs, which are split up in cliques, much like in Bratz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bratz, for all its dumbness, was a lot of fun. Marmaduke, for all its dumbness, is like having your soul shredded for eternity by Freddy. Like, it's a painful watch from the horribly CGI animated Marmaduke that dances, and for some reason they couldn't quite get the proportions right on the model, so his head is just that much too small to, well, we'll get to the exciting sewer rescue scene. we're hearing, knowing that Steve Coogan, who is a, what's that, comedy genius maybe?
Sure.
Amazing performer. Knowing that he has to do a stereotypical English professor type voice so it can be put in the mouth of a tiny dog for the Marmaduke movie. Anyway, there's a lot of clicks in the dog park ruled over by Bosco. Yeah. What is he, a Doberman or something?
Something like
yeah,
that.
And there's no scarier name, as Elliot pointed out, than Bosco.
A name that reminds you maybe of chocolate milk and maybe of the
Warner Brothers character that preceded all of the famous Warner Brothers characters.
The pre-Looney Tunes blackface Warner Brothers character who mostly just danced by bobbing up and down on his knees a lot.
The Ub Iwerks style, like, hey, it's me, Bosco.
Love me.
It sounds horrifying.
I see you when you're sleeping. I'm Bosco.
Sounds like a pretty scary dog.
Yeah, exactly. So Bosco is voiced by Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland, Flophouse fave.
Yeah, Mirrors star Kiefer Sutherland, and there's a big dividing line between the pure breed pedigree dogs and the mutts. Marmaduke's a mutt, which means he makes friends with a dog named Maisie, voiced by Emma Stone, who is the tomboy dog, which means nothing because dogs don't wear clothes or have gender identity issues that way. Dogs will hump each other. Men hump men. Women hump men, women hump women. Dogs hump all over.
That's a big stand you're making about marriage equality, Elliot.
I'm just saying everyone should be like the dogs and just hump away wherever.
But it is, as we briefly discussed, confusing because you have the voice of the very attractive Emma Stone coming out of a dog.
Yeah, sexy dog body.
And you're like, am I supposed to be attracted to this dog?
A sexy dog's body.
It is not a sexy dog's body.
It's a really curvaceous dog.
I could see Dan was having a lot of trouble, though, because if he closed his eyes, he would get a boner. But if he opened his eyes, they would go away, which is too bad because dogs like bones. Anyway, moving along. Marmaduke sees...
the words of Wayne's World, she'd give a dog a bone.
Marmaduke sees Jezebel, the purebred dog who's Bosco's girlfriend, voiced by Fergie. Not Fergie
oddly
the Royal.
More attractive this way.
Ouch. But Maisie clearly...
You heard that right, Josh Duhamel. You know where to find me.
Maisie...
I don't think Josh Duhamel does know where to find me.
He knows where to find where's to finds me.
He knows where to find me.
I'm in Brooklyn.
He turns into Popeye. He challenges somebody... Turns into Popeye.
Because being Popeye gives him strength. He doesn't know about the spinach part. He thinks Popeye got his strength from tattoos on his arms of irons.
Yeah.
But irons, of anchors, whatever. Anyway, it's late. Maisie obviously has a crush on Marmaduke, but Marmaduke only has eyes for Jezebel.
He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't want no tomboy dog.
But Marmaduke's got to look cool, because otherwise the pedigrees aren't going to like him. So he arranges with his roommate, a cat, to pretend.
Voiced by George Lopez.
Razzie nominee. George Lopez.
George Lopez was nominated for a Razzie for this role, but he's pretty much the most entertaining thing in the movie.
And I'm not, you know, like, I've never been a George Lopez fan, but after this movie, I'm like, well, you know, in a cast full of real professionals, you stood out, George Lopez.
If I watch the George Lopez show and I just close my eyes and pretend a cat's saying that stuff.
Hilarious.
Amazing stuff.
Boner.
Marmaduke has Carlos the cat pretend to be beaten up by Marmaduke.
Do you think they gave him the name when they realized he had a Spanish accent? Or did he...
Yeah, before that he was named Charles.
Or did he develop the accent after they called him Charles?
When they originally wanted Tom Noonan to do the voice, the cat was named Charles.
You do make a good point, which is the owners of the cat... can't hear the cat, so why did they name him Carlos?
I'm presuming that they can't, yeah.
I have to assume they adopted him from Mexico.
Or like
assholes. Also,
Elliot, that's not a cat. That's a Mexican sewer rat.
And it's got rabies. Podcast to tell in the dark. And its beehive hairdo is full of spiders.
Who the fuck...
The dog is coming from inside the house.
Who did the illustrations for those?
I don't remember his name, but they're super scary, and they actually changed them for the new edition of the
book. No, they're terrifying. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I had the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I remember very specifically...
Here's the problem with Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. How are you going to read the pages?
Yeah.
Can't be too dark.
But I remember very specifically telling my parents, take this book away from me. It is too scary.
It's those pictures were really scary, which is why in the new editions they don't have those pictures anymore. They have dull ones. And there was part of me that was like, oh, man, but those pictures were so great because they were scary. But me as a kid hated them because they were
It genuinely freaked me out.
Disembodied zombie heads and stuff.
Yeah. It's one step away from just having H.R. Geiger redo the Dr. Seuss books. Sure. There's all sorts of weird phallic tubes coming out of Cat in the Hat's head.
It's one step away from someone coming into your room as you're a child and disemboweling someone in front of you and then being... good night.
I would say
well.
It's at least three steps away from that. I would say someone yelling boo as you're about to go to sleep is somewhere in the middle ground between those two extremes.
Dan has a vivid imagination. The line between the page and reality is very blurry.
I think you'll find Dan has a vivid video imagination.
I live in the mouth of madness, guys.
Clean, sweet breath in the mouth of madness, though.
Mouth of damnness.
Just because your mouth is full of madness doesn't mean your breath has to be crazy. Hi, I'm H.P. Lovecraft. And I'm John Carpenter.
For Colgate.
Colgate?
For Colgate. The coldest way to keep someone out of your house. Colgate. They're the coldest. Hi. They won't stop your bad breath, but they will stop other people from getting close enough to you to smell it. I'm John Carpenter, and I'm H.P. Lovecraft. Together, we're cops. Lovecraft and Carpenter.
I feel like
weeknights on ABC.
This turned into like a Michael Kuperman comic where everything changes every three panels.
Oh, I wish. Anyway, let's just say Marmaduke wins over the other dogs with his toughness against a cat, and then Lee Pace suggests to his dog, William H. Macy, you know it would be a great idea to get Petco's attention, I guess, to host a dog surfing contest.
It's a terrible idea.
Really play up the California angle. It's a terrible idea, but they do it anyway.
Yeah, and Lee Pace has Marmaduke surf, even though Marmaduke has never surfed. This is like deep,
we're talking deep into
animal abuse.
But,
okay.
Marmaduke.
You've got a big butt, and I want to see it.
Marmaduke pulls through and does an amazing job on the surfboard.
Yeah, he's totally tubular.
People don't say that anymore, Dan.
Yeah, he's hanging 10, idiot.
Yeah, all right. I do want to note that Lee Pace's daughter has...
No, I don't want to hear this, Dan. This is going to get
gross. She's a teenager, Dan.
No, she's approached by a surfer named Bodie, and I like to think that this is a prequel to Point Break. That's all I wanted to say.
There's also a surfer named Bodie.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, he watched that dog surf, and he got some ideas.
Yep.
Now, let's mention, I forgot to mention that Marmaduke's owner, Lee Pace, is having trouble with his family. He really wants his daughter to fit in, but he keeps embarrassing her, I guess, which is what dads do.
Yep.
He wants his son to play soccer, but his son's not interested in soccer. And his wife is just unhappy for...
unfulfilled.
Yeah, maybe sexually unfulfilled, because every time they get into bed together, Marmaduke fucking farts in front of them.
Yep. Looks at the camera and raises his fucking dog eyebrows.
Yeah. And
but this is an example of that plot where... the dad is bad simply because he wants to do a good job at work.
And it's one of these things where he's trying to bond with his kids, but he's doing it the wrong way. He's not listening to them, which is bad. But he's a perfectly nice dad. He's a very nice guy.
It's a lot like Bad Dad starring Gerard Butler.
It is just like Bad Dad starring Gerard
Butler. That movie we made up, I think.
Yeah. It's starring Gerhard Butler, the Scottish actor who does all the backgrounds for Dave Sim.
Gerhard Butler, yeah.
Anyway, it's just like Soccer Dad, Bad Dad. Anyway, the everyone's upset with Lee Pace, and it is a kid's movie, so I can understand why you wouldn't want him to be a really bad dad who's, like, abusive, but you could up the conflict to a believable level.
Right.
But it's a kid's movie, so they want it to be nice.
But we were talking about, like, how this movie is about things that kids care about, which is, number one, the struggle to impress your boss at work, and number two... romantic conflict between, like, a love triangle.
A love triangle between dogs, yes.
Between dogs.
If there's anything little kids love and don't find gross or boring, it's romance and kissing and work.
Yep.
I'm just amazed. It seems like the obvious plot for this movie is Marmaduke gets lost. That's it. That's the obvious plot. And yet that happens in the movie for, like, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can't get lost that easily. He's fucking huge, dude.
That's the thing. He has different adventures based on his size. Maybe he enters a rodeo with like a monkey riding him or something. Maybe he saves a kid because he's the only one tall enough to like pull a branch down for the kid to climb down
also,
from.
Also, like, I've never seen any of the Beethoven movies, but I assume from what I've been able to glean, like, the plot of the Beethoven movies is Big
Dog. It's Marmaduke. It's a big dog who gets in the way.
And they made, like, three of those,
although
at least.
There is a scene in Beethoven where he has to impress impress some business people.
All right.
But like...
Wait, he has to or Charles Grodin has to?
I meant Charles Grodin. Sorry. Not Beethoven. Beethoven does not have a boss or a job in Beethoven.
Wait a minute. Is Charles Grodin named Beethoven? Because that would make Beethoven's
Charles,
monster.
Charles
where does Martin Short figure into this?
Charles Grodin, that's Clifford, which right. is not about a dog named Clifford, which confused me to no end when the movie
but
Clifford
it is
came
about
out.
A giant child.
It's about a Martin Short sized child. But
I think you're using the term giant loosely.
Martin Short is, as his name just tells us, short. Beethoven is about, Charles Grodin plays Ludwig von Beethoven, okay. who goes deaf because he's always shouting at his dog, yeah. and the dog barks in his ears too loud and deafens him. But yet that unlocks...
And the dog's original name is lost to the sands of time.
Exactly.
Forever like to be known as Beethoven's dog.
Beethoven's dog. And it turns out that that Beethoven writes the Fifth Symphony because his dog one day barks, ruff, 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 ruff. And of course, music history is made.
Yeah.
It was released as Immortal Beloved. Starring Nick Nolte as Beethoven's dog. Is that Nick Nolte who played Beethoven in Immortal
Beloved?
No, Blood?
It was like, was it
Gary Oldman?
Yeah.
It's Gary Oldman. Oh, well.
Of Scarlet Letter fame.
Yeah, that's what he's best known for.
Yeah, the guy that Dan, to this day, defends his handsomeness.
Yeah, and his large penis size.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying anything about his penis size, but it's flaccid. We can't make a really good
judgment. And he was in cold water. He was swimming in cold water.
Yeah, come on, sure. guys. Let's be fair.
You're right. I'm sorry, Gary Oldman.
Fair is fair.
I can only say, Gary Oldman, I invite you...
In the words
you,
of the Legend of Billie Jean, fair is fair.
I invite you to come here and show us your penis to prove...
Fully erect.
Fully erect. To
one flaccid. Of us will fluff it.
Not me.
Of your choice. No.
Choose
Gary
Dan.
Oldman.
He's just going to fucking pick me then. Don't let him choose.
Because you know your way around it. Anyway, so unfortunately, Marmaduke defeats Bosco the evil dog in the surfing contest. Bosco gets mad and makes it look and has a fight with Marmaduke, but Marmaduke gets blamed for it. Much yeah. like I got blamed when kids would pick on me in school, so I really could relate to Marmaduke on that one.
Yeah. Wait, what?
When I was a kid in school, I was a nerd. Let's face it.
Get
out of here.
And I was small for my age. Let's face it.
All right.
Except for my, you know, et cetera. But anyway.
You were small for your... What?
Why I oughta. I'm a short man. What are you going to do? Pocket-sized, you might say. I would say fun size.
Yeah.
But we all know fun size is just code for this candy's too small.
I could never make it work, but I always wanted to... I was trying for a while to do like a stand-up joke that was like... Fun size was just like they were using fun in the way a Southern woman would use fun. It was like, oh, look at that Snickers. That is fun. Look at that. That is a fun size Snickers.
I both like it and can see why it wouldn't work in a stand-up yeah. act. So anyway, I would get picked on a lot. And for some reason, teachers like to focus on the target of the being picked on as if they're bringing it to them in some way.
Yeah.
So I would get in trouble a lot and get sent to the principal a lot for being the butt of insults. And yeah. I never understood
yeah,
it.
Because you were walking around reading a fucking book about dinosaurs, nerd.
Dinosaurs? I wish.
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
Okay, the teachers were mad because they knew that you were going to be more successful for them eventually.
That's possible. But
imagine a universe
yeah,
far in the future dinosaurs. Where dinosaurs are also swords.
I don't see how it's not dinosaurs that use swords.
No, hold on.
Robot cowboys pick up the dino swords and do battle on the plains of imagination.
I will pay you $700,000 for this movie.
But it's in the future, so like they've cloned dinos, I assume. And then,
no,
like,
they went to a planet where dinosaurs are there.
Come on, okay. Keep up, Dan.
Sure.
It's obvious.
And the robot cowboys, who are giants.
I mean,
these are like Pacific Rim style robots.
There's a lot more personality.
Imagine the size of their hats.
I do think we can sell this to ABC 10, Saturday morning in 1984.
10,000 gallons.
So if you have access to a time machine.
We just got
to
get there before Dino Saucers comes out.
Yeah.
Do Dino Swords. Yep. You know what? Let's just steal the idea for Dino Saucers and sell that before they can.
All right, guys.
We know
it's
it gets
like
picked up. Come on. And you know what? Forget Dino Saucers. Let's just sell the idea for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Let's make a pact. In 30 years, if none of us are married...
We'll get a time machine.
Okay.
We'll go back. I mean, we're all married now.
I mean, things could change, Elliot.
Can't take it for granted. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. Live every day like it's your last.
So anyway, YOLO. Marmaduke's in trouble, and the Petco executives are appalled by this dogfight. It seems like Lee Pace is in the doghouse more than one. Jezebel.
You're not allowed to say doghouse any more times.
Marmaduke gets from Maisie her idea of a dream date and then takes Jezebel on the dream date. Mm. They romance each other. Marmaduke throws a party while his owners are out of the house. Where are they? I don't think it's ever explained. And the dogs tear up the house. They ruin it. Uh-oh, but worst comes to worst. Bosco comes in and he sees Carlos the cat. And he reveals that the fight with the cat was all prearranged. Mm-hmm. Marmaduke is a Marma fake, as Bosco says.
Yeah.
Because in dog terrible. To dogs, fake rhymes with Duke.
Yeah. As you said, he could have said, we've all been Marma-duped.
That's what I think he should have said. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Marmaduke.
He needs a better writing team, is what you're saying.
The yeah. family gets home, up. And Marmaduke gets in trouble. Marmaduke gets put in the doghouse, if you will.
No!
And forced to sleep outside. And Lee Pace, his family is mad at him, so he is in the doghouse, if you will. And
I won't.
It starts to rain, and Marmaduke, I guess to remind Lee Pace that he has children, takes his children the unopened soccer jersey that his son never wore, and the daughter's cell phone, which has a text on it about how lame her dad is, leaves them for Lee Pace to wake up to, and Marmaduke then runs off into the rain.
It's like a dick move on Marmaduke's part. Christmas
it is, gift. Yeah. And then Marmaduke runs into the Mystic Knight.
The Truth Fairy just drops some knowledge bombs on you, Lee Pace.
$20, please. It takes your teeth and gives you truth, because teeth and truth sound kind of similar. Mm-mm. When you're deaf, which tooth fairies are, or should I say, truth fairies. In fact, they're totally different fairies. I don't know why I got them mixed up. Let's not also forget the Don Bluth fairies, who leave animated movies that are never quite as good as you want them to be.
Hey. I really like The Secret of Nim.
Yeah, I forgot you love the Pebble and the fucking Penguin. I forgot a gnome named Norm or whatever it is, or gnome in Central Park, whichever one was him. Your big Balto booster.
Yep, Rockadoodle.
I forgot about Rockadoodle. He didn't do Rover Dangerfield, did he?
I don't think he did.
I hope so.
So anyway, Marmaduke goes on the run, and he runs into a...
That's a dog that has a good riding team behind him. Roger Doggerfield.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He doesn't get no respect.
Exactly.
That dog.
Well, why would you respect a dog?
He would have said Marmaduped.
He would have said Marmaduped because he has the better writers. Yeah. Yeah. He would have said Marma fucked because he's a little bluer for
the
adults. He
wears blue for the later show.
So Marmaduke, he runs into and thinks he's going to be in danger from the Chupadogra, a giant mastiff voiced by Sam Elliott because this movie has the best casting director in Hollywood. But it turns out
that casting director must have called in so many fucking favors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's more like, hey, I've got a lot of money for you for walking into a sound booth for a day for and pretending to be a dog.
Where do I sign up? I'm Sam Elliott. Finally, a dream come true. I get to make a lot of money in one afternoon. Yep.
Mustache wax don't pay for itself.
This is why I got into the business.
I love you, Sam Elliott.
I do like Sam Elliott a lot.
Sure.
He spells Elliott correctly. How could I not love him? Anyway, but it turns out Chupadogra is not actually the fearsome dog they thought he was. He's a dog who ran away from home to be an alpha dog, but then was turned on by his friends and lost his true family, and now he just wanders between the winds, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
Doling out morals to...
to lost dogs. And it turns out his name was Buster. Marmaduke, newly inspired, runs away again. Yeah. He's really in the doghouse this time.
No!
Now, in the morning, the family sees that he's gone. They go to find him, even though Lee Pace has his last chance, second big chance presentation to give that day to Petco. But no, the family makes him look for the dog. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Maisie, at the same time, is looking for the dog.
That's another dog?
That's the Emma Stone dog.
That's Emma Stone.
Dog.
Okay, that's the sexy dog.
That's none of them are sexy dogs. I will say, though, as far as dogs go, Maisie is sexier than Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Teen Wolf, where the friend is way sexier than the supposed hot girl.
Boof is much hotter.
Way hotter and cuter than Blondie McBlondo.
Boof is kind of like a little Phoebe Catesy.
You know what? I think
Dan loves Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates.
Come on.
How can you not? Come on, Stuart. Wait.
Kevin Klein likes Phoebe Cates too.
Yeah, they're married. They're married. The only people
called Kevin Klein.
Yeah, I texted him.
What do you think about Phoebe Cates? He's like, Stuart, you realize I married her, right?
How did you get this number?
And how did I know that you're Stuart?
Well, I put myself in your phone, Kevin Klein. Anyway, Princess Caribou. So continuing. Maze, they're all looking for Marmaduke. They finally all converge on, and this comes out of nowhere,
yeah.
a sinkhole in the middle of the streets of L.A. Maisie falls into it, into the sewers. And
yeah, the ground crumbles beneath her feet.
It's like the fucking part in Ghostbusters before they're about to walk into the building, and the ground is crumbling apart.
Music.
Oh, I hate that. It's the
saving the day.
Worst song in the movie.
Saving the day.
There's so many good songs in Ghostbusters.
Something dumping me insane. Saving the day.
Saving the day. Because we needed to fill the space in this montage.
We need to explain what the Ghostbusters are about to do. Wait. Whoa. Why are the Ghostbusters coming out?
The Ghostbusters are traveling to where the problem is. Are they going to try to make it worse? Are they going there to give in to Gozer and join
Ghostbusters?
Forces?
No, Ghostbusters! No, don't do it!
Don't do it, Gozer.
Don't do it, Ghostbusters!
Saving the day? Oh, God, thank goodness. The Ghostbusters are still good guys. They haven't yet turned towards evil.
Thank God, Ghostbusters.
Anyway.
You had me scared there for a second.
Marmaduke falls in the sewer.
What accent was that?
I'm going to say Philadelphia. Marmaduke falls in the sewer and saves Maisie. A rescue worker saves
Contaminating
Maisie.
Contaminating the city's water supply.
With Big Dog.
Yep.
A rescue worker can pull up Maisie, but Marmaduke's too big. The sewer water pushes him forward, and he gets lost in the tunnels.
A la Third Man.
Yeah. Exactly. He gets pushed into one of those big aqueducts that they chase through in Terminator 2 that are outside.
Yeah.
And Lee Pace saves him.
That are in every movie set in L.A.
Yeah. Where the once mighty L.A. River trickles through,
yeah.
like the puny little shitty river it is, and he saves Marmaduke at the last minute. He realized Marmaduke and him.
They're
stupid.
Talking to each other for a while.
It seems
it really
for a second
doesn't
like
matter.
It really doesn't matter. The important thing is
for no reason there's a sinkhole rescue at the end of this Marmaduke.
At the end
movie.
Of Marmaduke, they decide to action it up. They needed a big climax from Marmaduke. Well, they said. There's nothing bigger than Marmaduke. The very Earth itself would have to swallow him up. Of course. And it turns out...
What is Earth's mightiest dog?
But
there's never been a sinkhole in L.A. before.
And Lee Pace has been fired by his boss over the phone for not showing up on time. Lee Pace finds... He says, well, I guess we're moving back to Kansas. And his family goes, no, we love it here. It turns out that the daughter has hit it off with Bodie the surfer. And the son may not be into soccer, but he is into skateboarding. And he's mm-hmm. found some cool friends.
So some cool kids to do drugs with, apparently.
And the kids also recorded the whole rescue and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, and luckily, William H. Macy, who was a nut for dogs, respects the fact that Lee Pace would rather save his dog from a sinkhole than come to work.
Which is also... Anyone should sure. respect that he saved a living thing yeah. rather than go to work, you know.
And then there's a horrific scene of a bunch of dogs dancing
there
to...
There is almost no justification for this. It comes almost entirely out of nowhere. Marmaduke goes and he tells the pedigrees that they all have to mix. All the dogs are equal.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He throws over Fergie for Emma Stone.
For Emma Stone, and all the dogs are okay. All dogs go to heaven.
Dogger yeah. Stone.
And Bosco Rodney gets chased Dogger away Stone. By a bee. And in one of many, and then they all dance to What I Like About You. Yeah. All CGI dogs. It's terrible. But let me just say one thing, and it's going to lead to a larger point about Marmaduke. Bosco says...
Is there a larger point about Marmaduke?
Yes, and I'm getting to it. Bosco says... You're going to find that payback is a bee, because a bee hits him on the nose, and he goes, ah,
that
a bee, and
sense.
Runs away.
Mm-hmm. He's
going to
say payback's a bitch.
He was going to say payback's mm-hmm. a bitch. This is a kid's movie. There are so
like,
many...
Don't trust the bee in Apartment 23.
There's so many quote-unquote jokes in this movie.
Wait, that's
a kid's
about
movie.
A bitch?
No, it's about a bee. Okay. It's about a giant bee that
an untrustworthy bee.
But the bee is always
late
on his
rent. You wouldn't want to like, yeah, you wouldn't.
He always eats the stuff in your fridge.
Take care of your cat while you're away.
You find out his friend, who's a wasp,
sting
is lying
on my cat.
Yeah,
we can only sting the cat once. Then the stinger gets pulled out and he dies.
So, yeah,
that's really sad.
That's why that show got canceled. The bee died after it stung someone.
Yeah, it was Sweeps Week. It was called Stings for Sweeps. Now. Okay, there's a lot of jokes in this supposed kids movie that are jokes for grown-ups. There's a lot of drug references. There's references to movies kids would have seen that adults would not have seen. There's like a lot... There's
reverse.
What?
The movies that kids wouldn't have
seen. A lot of movies that kids would not have seen.
Like Irreversible.
Like... No, there's a 9-minute rape scene that is very inappropriate. Very inappropriate.
But it kind of explains why Marmaduke's such an asshole to everybody.
Yeah. It's one of those movies where it's supposedly for kids, but they feel like, well, we got to entertain the adults too. And instead of then doing what, say, like Pixar does and crafting a strong story with a real emotional core so that adults get drawn into it also. They just fill it up with a bunch of shitty, like, references and, like, jokes about swear words and things like that.
It worked for Shrek, dude.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it worked for Shrek. And the ending where they all dance to What I Like About You seems so stolen from the end of Shrek when they sing and dance to I Believe in Miracles, right? No, it's like Believer. Sorry.
Yeah, that's saw her thing.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. It's another stupid song about believing. So it's like, it's this whole second-rate, second-hand, cliched, crappy movie that has no audience. It's not for kids, not for adults. But I'm such a huge not fan of that aspect of kids' movies these days, and it's a problem I have with both Smurfs and Smurfs 2, that the tagline is Smurf Happens, which is a play on shit
like,
happens.
Okay.
Which, like, a kid shouldn't get that.
Shit does happen.
It's inappropriate to bring a play on the word shit into the advertising campaign for
like,
a kids'
movie.
If you
movie. Do a really good thing for children that is, like, is not obviously doing something for adults. I mean, like, it may have, like, the wit of something for adults, but it's not obviously doing for something. It's still going to be enjoyed by adults.
Yeah, it's still going to be
enjoyed
by adults.
I feel like the stories about Winnie the Pooh, for instance, like, they've got some very funny stuff in them that can be enjoyed by adults, but there's nothing in there that is not aimed at a child.
Yeah.
And that's the opposite of Marmaduke.
I would also say that the Marmaduke comics are about this big-ass dog that this family has to put up with. And the movie is about this dog who has to put up with this asshole owner, basically. And it completely loses the point of the comic strip.
You're right. They really weren't true
just
to
like
the
fucking Watchmen all over again.
So,
yep, this is like the Watchmen of giant dog movies.
Somehow we've managed to talk for a very long time about Marmaduke. So quickly, final judgments. This is a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, a movie you kind of like. Stuart.
This was a bad, bad movie. I didn't like it at all. It was terrible.
I agree. Elliot.
Let's make unanimous bad, bad movie. I hated this, and I hate our fans for wanting us to watch it.
I love you guys. I am glad that a lot of people I like got paid money, probably.
Well, that's
to
the
make
thing.
This.
If Judy Greer,
you deserve it.
If there's a welfare program for good actors that involves them being paid a lot of money to be in shitty movies, ultimately I'm okay with that. I just wish that they made good movies instead.
Before we move on to letters, I just want to quickly say it's been very nice on the Judge John Hodgman podcast. We were mentioned by Mr. Jesse Thorne and John Hodgman.
Begrudgingly mentioned by Mr. John Hodgman.
And also on Jordan Jesse Go, the Flophouse has come up a couple of times. And I want to extend thanks to them for bringing them up. Those are two podcasts that I personally...
And they're not even contractually obligated to
no,
say
no,
anything.
We're no, in different not. Podcast networks, but those are podcasts that I love myself. Jordan Jesse Go was one of the reasons I started this podcast. It was an inspiration to me. And so I appreciate...
It's like an intercompany podcast crossover. Yeah. Like when the Hulk would fight Batman.
So maybe John Hodgman will come sit in here in place of me, and you guys can have a talk, Elliot.
Maybe.
You guys can hash things out.
Maybe.
Like a real WTF. Get to the bottom of your beef.
Speaking of...
Like a real WWF.
Speaking of other podcasts, I'd like to briefly
it's
plug...
It's WWE now, Dan.
A relatively recent addition to the All Things Comedy podcasting network, a podcast called Writer's Block with J.R. Havlin. He is another writer at The Daily Show, and it is a podcast where he interviews comedy writers about their process and whatever. It's a little different from WTF because it's comedy writers specifically and not comedians. But he has some great interviews in it. There's an episode where he interviews Neil Brennan that I found particularly fantastic. So check it out on the All Things Comedy Network and then listen to some other ones too.
So moving on to letters, this first letter is titled The Flophouse and the Train Journey from Hell. And,
is this a kid's novel?
It's from...
Is this in the series of Flophouse I Can Read Adventure Stories?
It's from Andy, last name with health. He says,
Borowitz.
Good afternoon, gang. I'd just like to thank the Flophouse for keeping me sane and putting a smile on my face during the train journey from hell last Friday night. The Rust Bucket train was 2 hours late, last cleaned in 1973. The toilet was a sibling to Trainspotting's worst toilet in Scotland, and there was not a single announcement, so you had no idea where you were. Best of all were the cast of the characters on the Train of the Damned, including, but not limited to, a man who seemed to have three wives who would not stop singing, a skinhead in my compartment who made increasingly angry phone calls in between trying to chat up the ladies of the train, a father passed out drunk while his children almost fell out the windows, and dozens of filthy children who were playing on the tracks up until a minute before the train arrived.
Where was this train? Like, where were you going?
Well, he says, anyway, advice from
Latvia
Flopper.
To visit Dr. Doom or something?
Advice from Flopper to Flopper, never travel with Romanian regional railways. Keep up the good work.
Never having done that, I think I'm gonna say I would have said that advice, if only because you know it's gonna be a train of fucking vampires.
Yours ding-dongingly, Andy, last name withheld.
Well, thanks for listening, Andy, and we're glad we got you safely through the land of wind and ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Romania.
But moving on to...
I hope he wasn't eaten by a werewolf right after he sent that letter.
Moving on to some questions for us. Hey, Floppers.
You gave it to a very ominous-looking postman who transformed into a bat moments later.
Dear Floppers, two things. HOTS is now available streaming on Hulu.
Awesome.
And while it requires you to register due to the copious nudity, I disagree with the assertion that the film is intended for mature audiences.
No, it's intended for 13-year-olds.
Secondly, if you could create your own 80s teen-sploitation romp, but the plot did not involve saving a failing business from an evil developer played by Martin Mull, would it be?
Yeah, why bother?
Keep on flopping, Bill last name withheld. That's a good question. A sexploitation romp.
I mean, I think it would be called like Top Busters, and it would be about women who don't wear tops. Do we need a plot beyond that? I don't know.
I was going to say, okay, so you have some big-breasted ladies, mm-hmm. okay. and they are members of some kind of elite like police squad that are operate outside the law.
So kind of like the Andy Sedaris movies.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, similar to that. Almost like a Cuffs situation, okay. but with way more nudity.
So what about like...
like Shower Police. They're called the Shower Police. They only break up crimes there.
They only deal
in
with shower-related crimes.
Yeah.
And of course, they take showers after the crimes.
Yeah, you got to clean all that blood off.
What about like Nude School USA?
you've been thinking about this.
Yeah, you wrote the script already.
Like I don't know what... Like maybe...
You'll take a producer credit is what you're saying.
What you're saying
it's a town where like their biggest export is pants, and so they hate shirts. So, like, there's a bunch of topless women
I would
in
say
school.
It, there's a problem between the townies and the gownies.
Sure.
But the problem is the townies are the ones wearing gowns. And the Nude School USA, or Nude School U, let's call it Nude School University USA. They have to convince the townspeople to take off their clothes and live free. But there's a crusty old dean played by a 19-year-old
mm-hmm.
who's trying to throw out all the sororities and the fraternities. The fraternities are also girls' organizations. It's mm-hmm. an all-girls school.
Yeah. I like it.
Also, let's just call one Lesbian Beach.
Sure. Starring Rhonda Shear.
As Sandy Beach. Christy Ducati as a lesbian.
This next letter... is titled Questions for the Floppers. Hey, Floppers.
Shoot.
Just a couple of questions I have for you. Now, there's one for each of us, so.
So I won't answer.
I'll just run through all of them.
Okay.
One question
how are we doing
circle
this?
Back.
We'll circle, ask wisely.
I'll run through all of them, then we'll circle back.
So you don't want us to interrupt you each time?
No.
Okay.
So, number one, Stuart.
Okay, that's me.
Bigger disappointment, Doll Man versus Demonic Toys, or Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys? Two, Elliot. Most overrated and most underrated musicals. 3. Dan. F. Mary Kill. Leanna Quigley. Joan Severance. Linda Blair. Circa Zapped Again. So, cycling back, Stuart. Bigger disappointment. Doll Man versus Demonic Toys or Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys?
I would probably say I think Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys is a bigger disappointment just because I think it has such a rich mythos.
Mm-hmm.
So many great characters that you can't really fit them all into. I think it was like a 65-minute movie.
We got to have time at the end for that Full Moon Entertainment ad for all the other movies.
Exactly. I think... I mean, the workshop has so many great characters, like the leech woman and the little German-looking guy that shoots out flame, or the guy with the little knives.
The six-shooter.
Six-shooter is amazing. And he didn't even show up until, like, two or three.
What about Drilly?
Yeah, the basic drill head guy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's the vanilla of Puppet Master Puppets.
He's the Leonardo Cyclops of Puppet Master characters.
No, that would be the guy that's actually a midget but with a little pinhead.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A doll that drills into people is pretty cool.
I'm not saying not cool, but that's like saying a man-sized turtle with two katanas isn't cool. okay, he sounds pretty cool, but let's check him out.
Personality-wise, though, around him. Kind of a dud.
But yeah, Doll Man vs. Demonic Toys is better.
All right, Elliot, most overrated and most underrated musicals.
I'm going to say most overrated musicals, and this can be controversial, is a tie for me between An American in Paris.
I agree.
Which I'm not a fan of, aside from the ballet sequence, and The Bandwagon, which I'm also not a fan of, aside from the Mickey Spillane-inspired dance number. And there is one super creepy dance number where Fred Astaire and the other two leads are dressed up like little kids and are singing about how they hate and want to kill each other. And it is like, in a John Waters movie, yes, works great. In a Fred Astaire musical with Sid Charisse, no, that's weird. I love Fred Astaire, love Sid Charisse, don't like The Bandwagon. Most underrated musical, I would say, would be Dames, a musical from the 30s that I'm a particular fan of, with Dick Powell and a lot, basically everyone else that was in Warner Brothers movies and musicals in the 30s. It's really silly and goofy and funny, and there's a number of great musical numbers in it, some of Busby Berkeley's best work, in my opinion. Dames, that's the one you should seek out.
And for me, the question was F, Mary, Quick Kill, Leanna Quigley, Joan Severance, and Linda Blair.
You almost said F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's
instead
hard.
Instead of F. Mary Kill.
Well, it,
let's see. I would F. Joan Severance, and I would Murray Linda Blair. And I guess I'd Abraham the other one.
The problem is he did not write Fuck, Mary, Kill. He wrote F. Mary, Kill. So there's no way that you're not going to start saying F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah, I get it.
Fuck, Mary, Kill.
I like that as a new game.
Leanna Quigley, Joan Severance, Linda Blair, Circa Zapt again. Now, I don't want to kill anyone.
Sure. But if you had
but,
to.
But the rules
Joan
of
Severance
the game.
The rules of the game.
The rules of the game say you must.
Yeah.
Want to play a little game?
It's
called F. Murray Abraham.
You
gotta find F. Murray Abraham in this box of packing peanuts. Is he even in this box? You're gonna have to find out. If you don't find him within five minutes,
it's a box of packing peanuts.
Yeah. It's like a shoebox too.
How far he's fallen since Amadeus?
Oh, he's fallen very far.
All right, kill if I have to. Linda Blair. I'm sorry. Sorry, Linda.
Oof.
Wow. Just try to, dude. If you've ever seen Savage Streets, you know she'll serve you up some hot death with a crossbow.
Now, between Fuck and Mary, fuck Joan Severance.
Of course.
Marry Leanna Quigley, because she's got all these great stories of her days as a scream queen.
A scream queen?
A scream queen.
A scream queen.
Yeah, man. It's easy.
And what would you do with F. Murray Abraham?
I would also marry him.
Oh.
Because you get the financial stability of F. Murray Abraham. Yeah. His vast fortune.
All those Star Trek insurrection dollars rolling in.
So our last letter of the evening is titled, Have You Seen My Hat?
Well, this is a very specific letter.
Dan Stewart Elliott.
I'm going to need a subscription.
Have you seen my hat? It's a baseball cap. It's black. It's got a Coors Light logo on front and a clover behind it. Named after its founder, Adolph Coors, quite obviously an Irish beer company. Fun fact, Adolph Coors killed himself by jumping out a hotel window. I bet he went down smooth. Okay, the hat. I think I lost it when I moved from Chicago to Mount Prospect, and that was back in November. I thought it was in the trunk of my car, but it's not. And I unpacked the boxes by, like, December, so, like, what's going on here? Who would steal a hat? And it's not even a good hat. It's all broken in for someone with a small head. Aside, my head's kind of small, but it's no big deal. It's not like a thing or anything.
Did you find this letter on the floor of the subway?
So I doubt anyone stole it. Although if it were stolen, I'd be really mad, like sweaty mad. Anywho, any help you'd be able to provide in this area would be much appreciated. I'm not asking for a nationwide manhunt like the 1979 movie Scavenger Hunt, co-starring Cloris Leachman and Tony Randall doing some fantastic...
Antonio Randall doing some fantastic
what the fuck am I doing here performances. But maybe you could lend a hand. I'll even pay you back for any assistance offered. Elliot, I'll help you finish the Rocket Crocodile in the World of Tomorrow script.
Script is done. I need the money for the production.
Stuart, I'll help you on your quest to see every woman who's ever lived totally nude. Dan, okay. I'll even listen to you talk about your core. Here's an artist rendering of the hat, if it helps. And here's a picture of the hat.
Okay, that's a basic line drawing of a hat. It says Coors Light with a clover on it.
Yeah, so you got a shamrock there. The answer to your question is no, we have not seen your hat.
Yes. So I guess Flophouse listeners, if you see this man's hat, send it to somewhere, Mount Prospect. Just write, man who needs a hat, Mount Prospect, care of the Flophouse, America, USA.
I feel like we're helping out.
Rarow, rated R.
So
we're doing good.
Yeah,
work.
Finally.
We're doing the Lord's work here.
Yeah, we're just like America's Most Wanted.
So the last segment, the last
traditional. The Lord's work is finding that man's lost hat?
Sure. I mean, the Lord wants that man to be happy.
That's true.
His eyes on the sparrow. So I know he watches him.
So, last segments. What again? We say goodbye.
No. Is there... we recommend movies. Movies that we enjoyed, unlike Marmaduke, that people can watch. Stuart, what do you want to
watch? Well, I already recommended Dollman vs. Demolitoys over...
Don't recommend that
It doesn't count. Well, last night I saw with Elliot, but in the same room, but not together.
We were at the same event unknowingly.
It was weird.
But my Stuart sense was tingling.
Something was tingling.
Okay.
Okay, it's your turn, Dan. No, we both went to the New York premiere of Nicholas Wendig Refn's
Only God Forgives. Starring...
Ryan Gosling and Ryan a guy Foster. From Thailand.
Ryan Gosling, Kirsten Scott Thomas, and two Thai actors, one of whom was the breakout star of the movie.
Yeah,
by far.
Yeah,
he is. He's the Christoph Waltz of the movie, if you will.
Yeah. If you loved Drive, but you want a much less accessible version.
With less talking.
Less talking and more gore and horrible stuff.
And horrible dysfunctional family dynamics.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And
Thailand.
If you want it to go super slow, like snails pace slow at times.
Yes.
And you want a discordant score that makes you uncomfortable the entire time. Go see Only God Forgives.
But that is a
theaters, probably now.
But that is a recommendation.
It's like a
Stuart
recommendation.
Stuart and I both
really
liked this movie. Here's how I would describe it. If Quentin Tarantino wrote a script set in Thailand, and then John Waters did a gloss on it, and then Stanley Kubrick directed it, and then Takashi Miike directed retakes for that movie to make it bloodier, I think you'd have something along the lines of Only God Forgives. It's a very... deliberate, very slow and strange movie that also has some super gory scenes, and one particularly gory scene.
And I think the only way to really experience it, you're going to have to go back in time to last night and see the weird Q&A with the director and the cast where Ryan Gosling seems uncomfortable for the first half that he's up on stage with these crazy people.
And the director's doing the best to make him feel that way by saying crazy things. I really liked a lot. It's a movie that the story is nothing amazing. In fact, it's very strange, but it creates such an intense mood and such an intense ambiance and atmosphere, and the music and the filmmaking are at such a high level of craft that it's going for a kind of a deeper emotional dreamlike back of the brain state, and I think it hits there.
Who's recommending this? I don't know.
We're both recommending it.
We both saw it.
My mind is blown.
We're both recommending it. It's a tag team recommendation.
Okay. So you have the highbrow and the lowbrow. I liked it for the gore and I guess the gore.
And I liked it for the evocation of a very specific mood that's sustained over the course of this hour and a half.
I like the loud noises. And I like any movie that has a character that can seemingly pull a giant katana-like sword from behind his back at any time.
Inside his butt, I guess.
He's like a Highlander.
So many hands get cut off. But
Spoiler alert.
Hands get cut
off. It is, if you are a male actor in a Wendig Refn movie, you are probably going to get fucked up.
Yes.
Like, just make a prosthetic of your face because it's about to get fucked up.
Like, I would say if you were on the fence about Drive, don't go see this movie. Even if you liked Drive, you might not like this movie, but it is a full experience. It's a movie you experience. You don't watch necessarily, you know. And there is a introducing your mom to your girlfriend at dinner scene that is hilarious. Where Kristen Scott Thomas says the meanest things she can think of to two people who do not say much.
In an otherwise very quiet movie to an audience filled with nervous laughter.
But so Only God Forgives. If you're willing to give a strange movie a try, I'd say go for that one.
Yeah, if you liked if you liked most of his other movies,
you'll probably like it. And it's the kind of movie where at the end, when the credit comes up that says dedicated to Alexandro Jodorowsky, you're like, or Alejandro.
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, dedicated to Jodorowsky, you go, ah, oh, that makes sense. Oh, okay, I get it.
I would like to recommend three movies. Here's the thing.
You're making up for us. Yeah,
we were off. The Daily Show was off for a couple weeks. Yeah, I know. Complain about it. Oh, we get so much vacation time.
Just recommend the movie, Dan. Yeah,
to hell with you. To hell with you, imagined straw man.
So I also
had a little fire, straw man.
So I watched a lot of movies during that time.
When I'm making an argument, I like to argue against a wicker man.
Terrible. He always wins.
It's true.
Covers you in bees.
But there are three movies I enjoyed. Number one, I saw Robin and Marian, the Richard Lester movie about Robin Hood, which is a movie that I tried to watch as a child, because when I was a kid, Robin Hood was one of my great heroes, along with Sherlock Holmes. And
because Dan grew up in the 1890s.
Yeah, but if you're a kid...
Well, Stuart and I were watching Wolverine just slash people to bits.
Yeah. You're watching that?
Well, on like the X-Men cartoon show.
Yeah. I was watching him play the X-Men video game.
I just when you're a kid, if you want a Robin Hood movie, Robin and Marian is not the one for you.
No.
You want a swashbuckling,
you want
fun
the adventures of Robin Hood.
Robin Hood.
Yeah.
But as,
tights, et cetera.
As a tired adult, Robin and Marian was very... I enjoyed it very much. It's an aging Robin Hood, although Sean Connery went on to have at least 30 more years of appearing in action
movies.
It's
like when Frank Sinatra sang The September of My Years, when he was roughly halfway through his career.
Yeah, but it has a great cast. It has Sean Connery, Audrey Hepburn, Nicole Williamson, Ian Holm, Robert Shaw is in it. Who else? Denholm Elliott is in that movie.
You name an English actor, he's in it.
Yeah, it's a
lot of meat.
It's a great movie about
a lot of meat in that sandwich.
The end of a legend. It was originally called, I think, The Death of Robin Hood or something.
But they decided that was too exciting a name.
if you want a bittersweet take on Robin Hood, it's a very good movie. I watched Wagon Master.
Wagon Master is a good movie.
John Ford movie,
yeah.
Starring Ben Johnson, where two horse traders shepherd a group of Mormons through the desert. And Ben Johnson is usually the sort of second banana in John Ford westerns, and this was his chance to be the first banana.
That was the thing that always took me out of the John Ford movies, was that there was a guy in a banana suit walking around.
Yeah.
This is really, it's not accurate, right? I mean, Western towns can just have a guy in a banana costume walking around. And then have two guys. There's a second banana. There's another guy
crazy
in the banana costume.
That really happened in those movies?
Yeah. Haven't you ever seen The Banana Who Shot Liberty Valance?
No.
But Ben Johnson, just as an actor, radiates.
She wore a yellow banana?
He radiates.
That's crazy. Why would they make that movie?
I'm not sure. They're classics, all of them. Yeah.
As Banana Coach? As an actor.
What is that?
He radiates decency and charisma, and it's just a lot of fun to see him.
Is that a stagecoach filled with bananas?
Yeah, it is. The Peelers? That's The Searchers.
And lastly, I watched Side Effects, the supposedly last theatrical release from Steven Soderbergh, and it's a movie that kind of flopped in theaters, but that's great.
Oh, we should have watched it for this.
It means that you don't know anything about it. Like I started watching the movie knowing very little about it, and I think that's the ideal way to walk into it.
You actually thought it was an adaptation of the Woody Allen book Side Effects.
And boy, was I not a laugh in the thing. But it's just a lot of it's got a great performance by Rooney Mara, who I've now seen in three things, putting in totally different performances every time. But it's a movie. It's a thriller that has some absurd twists and turns, but it's done in a very masterful way. And I won't say anything more about
Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
I have not seen the Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
I thought we watched that for this.
No, we watched the Friday the 13th remake.
Oh.
You're getting your Jasons and your Freddys mixed up.
Mm-hmm. Your Freddys versus your Jasons.
That was also, just to go back to this event that Stuart and I both attended, yes, unknowingly last night. A person asked at one point this stupid question, if you could play any part from any movie, what would you play? And the actors had no idea how to answer this until Ryan Gosling just goes, Freddy Krueger, and puts it down.
Drops the mic.
Drops the mic. And I think you and I probably both had the exact
same
thought.
The crowd erupted in cheers.
You and I probably both said thought was, that, yeah, do it. That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing.
Like a Nicholas Winding Refn movie of Nightmare on Elm Street with Ryan Gosling as Freddy Krueger. Like, yeah, like, why is that not happening? Mm-hmm. Oh, I would love it. Talk about a weird Freddy Krueger movie.
What's your recommendation, though, Ellie?
Only God Forgives.
Okay.
I also recommend Pacific Rim.
All right.
I don't really need to say anything. Fair I mean, enough. Like.
So on the Flophouse recommends Wiki, I'll be Only God Forgives.
Okay.
And I'll be Pacific Rim. People will assume that I like a movie where giant robots punch the shit, literally the shit, out of giant monsters.
Literally
monster.
A scene where they punch a monster and shit comes out of
it. Am I going to spoil the movie for you?
I mean, it would spoil the movie for me if I watched the movie and that scene was in it.
It would spoil for me if it was not in it.
But it's a big budget, like a big budget summer blockbuster, but made with a lot of love and attention to detail. And yeah, it's not like the plot and the story is not going to win any awards, but... You know, check your brain at the door, turn it off.
Yeah, popcorn.
Whatever you need to do, and just enjoy the work of William of the Bull.
So
that's
guys.
The English version of his name, because this is America. We speak American here.
We finally did it. Watch Marmaduke. How do you feel?
God. And we made like a million recommendations.
Yeah, I think it was pretty successful.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm trying to digest a big piece of meat, and it's not going through.
Like a Marmaduke-sized piece of meat.
Yep, I'm digesting.
It's just too big for his little mouth.
I think we did a good job.
Is this the part where we back ourselves up with positive praise? Are we doing the evaluations portion? I don't understand.
I mean, you were really good, and you were right too, dude. Yeah.
Thanks. And you were okay.
Thanks. I mean, it came in a little slow.
Are we all supposed to talk about one strength and one flaw? Right. I don't...
Yeah, it's do that a off. Shit sandwich is why we're doing it.
We can do that off air.
It's where the shit is the meat, not the bread. That would be weird.
That'd be weird. How are you going to hold that sandwich?
I mean, you have to dry out.
Poop all over your hands.
I think we can sign off.
Gloves.
Thanks for listening. For the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'll be Elliot Kalin until history forgets me.
Good night, everyone.
We did it. You were pretty good too.
Thanks, dude.
So, wait, what do you want me to do?
What?
Change my body?
Why? It's perfect. Stuart has a perfect body.
No, you can sit there. Just don't get any closer to the mic than you are.
Like back here? I sound weird a lot.
That might just be your voice.
That's fair.
This microphone is covered in cat hair.
I'm sorry. Sound like I sound
it's just
in my
the
head.
Apartment. I apologize.
That's
not
okay.
A lot I can do about it.